Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI makes a plea to stop attacks against migrants and Christians. The Pope addresses the Holy See's diplomatic corps, highlighting the need to protect the environment in a universal effort to build and cultivate peace. Ireland's ambassador to the Holy See shares his thoughts and immediate reaction to Pope Benedict's discourse. And film critic Peter Malone tells us the moving story of a widowed father having to forge a new relationship with his young sons. Pope Benedict XVI says violence is never the answer. The Pope's plea to stop attacks against migrants and Christians came on Sunday after praying the Angelus together with those gathered in St. Peter's Square. Charles Collins has this report.
After his Angelus prayer on Sunday in St. Peter's Square, Pope Benedict XVI drew attention to the plight of migrants as well as the persecution of Christians. The Pope's remarks came after the police had to escort hundreds of immigrants out of Rosarno in southern Italy. The immigrants had been subjected to violent attacks after they protested the working conditions to which they were subjected.
Un immigrato è un essere umano.
The Holy Father said everyone must remember immigrants are human beings. Although they are different in origin, culture, and traditions, they are also people with rights and responsibilities. He said this is particularly true in the workplace, where there is an easy temptation to exploitation. The Pope also said violence should never be the way to resolve difficulties for anyone. Turning his attention then to the plight of Christians who are being persecuted in various parts of the world, he called on political and religious institutions to not ignore their duties. Pope Benedict said there can be no violence in the name of God, nor can God be honored by offending the dignity and freedom of others. Before reciting the Angelus, the Pope spoke about the importance of baptism on the feast marking the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan.
Today, on the feast of the baptism of the Lord, the Church invites us to contemplate Jesus as the Messiah, the beloved Son of the Father, who gives us a share in the divine life through the gift of the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism. May all of us be renewed in the grace of our own baptism, and strengthened in faithful witness to the gospel and its promises.
The Pope also said the meaning of baptism can offer a model for society, that of brotherhood. He said this brotherhood is not established through an ideology, but from the awareness of being children of one Father. Pope earlier on Sunday had baptized 14 children in the Sistine Chapel.
Nella festa del battesimo del Signore, anche quest'anno ho la gioia di amministrare il sacramento del battesimo.
During his homily, he reminded the parents and godparents of their responsibility to be witnesses to the faith in both their words and actions, so when their children grow up, they can pronounce on their own with full awareness the formula at the end of the baptismal rite. This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church, and we are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm Charles Collins.
E noi ci gloriamo di professarla in Cristo Gesù, nostro Signore.
Thanks there to Charles Collins for that report. If we wish to build and cultivate true peace, we must protect creation. This is the message at the heart of Pope Benedict's address to the Holy See's diplomatic corps on Monday, just as it was the focus of his letter for the World Day of Peace issued at the start of the new year.
Si on veut la paix, il faut préserver la création.
But before getting into the core of his discourse, the Pope expressed deep satisfaction for just established diplomatic relations between the Holy See and the Russian Federation, and for the recent visit of the President of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, a country where the Church is celebrating her centuries-long presence by a jubilee year. And in this spirit of openness, Pope Benedict reminded those present, the Church is open to everyone and shares deeply in the fortunes of humanity.
L'Église est ouverte à tous, parce qu'en Dieu, elle existe pour les autres.
Speaking of the continuing dramatic crisis of the global economy and the consequent widespread social instability, Benedict recalled that in his encyclical Caritas in Veritate, he focused on a current self-centered and materialistic way of thinking. A way of thinking, he stressed, which today also endangers creation.
Aujourd'hui, je voudrais souligner que cette même mentalité menace également la création.
And he spoke of how decades of materialistic and atheistic regimes in Europe not only harmed the dignity and freedom of individuals and peoples, but harmed nature itself by polluting soil, water and air. The denial of God, he continued, distorts the freedom of the human person, yet it also devastates creation. And referring to the recent Copenhagen UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, which highlighted widespread economic and political resistance to combating the degradation of the environment, Benedict expressed his hope that in the course of the year, during upcoming conferences, it will be possible to reach an agreement for effectively dealing with this question.
Je souhaite que dans le courant de cette année, d'abord à Bonn et puis à Mexico, il soit possible de parvenir à un accord.
If we wish to build true peace, the Pope said, how can we separate or even set at odds the protection of the environment and the protection of human life? Furthermore, he noted, the world has enough food for all its inhabitants, provided that selfishness does not lead some to hoard the goods which are intended for all. And in keeping with the main message of his discourse, Pope Benedict said that the protection of creation calls for an appropriate management of the natural resources of countries, and in the first place of the economically disadvantaged. And here he referred especially to Africa, where soil erosion and desertification of much arable land is a result of over-exploitation and environmental pollution.
Si l'on veut construire une vraie paix, comment serait-il possible de séparer ou même d'opposer la protection de l'environnement et celle de la vie humaine?
And again he forcefully repeated that to cultivate peace, one must protect creation. How can we forget, the Pope said, that the struggle for access to natural resources is one of the causes of a number of conflicts? And here he mentioned not only Africa, but also Afghanistan and some countries of Latin America, where agriculture is still linked to the production of narcotics, with all the consequences that entails.
C'est aussi pour cette raison que je répète avec force que pour cultiver la paix, il faut protéger la création.
The protection of creation, he repeated, is indeed an important element of peace and justice. And in this regard, he went on to mention the resources used for increased military spending and nuclear arsenals. And singling out the production and export of arms, his thoughts turned to the ongoing conflicts in Darfur, Somalia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thoughts which led him to reflect with bitterness on the inability and apparent powerlessness of international organizations to restore peace, to say nothing of the indifference and resignation of public opinion worldwide.
Plus généralement, je déplore que la production et l'exportation des armes contribuent à perpétuer conflits et violences, comme au Darfour, en Somalie, ou en République démocratique du Congo.
Renewing a recent appeal to those belonging to armed groups to abandon the path of violence, the Pope denounced terrorism, which endangers countless innocent lives. These grave acts of violence, he said, combined with the scourges of poverty, hunger, natural disasters, and the destruction of the environment, have helped to swell the ranks of those who migrate from their native land. And in this regard, Benedict also mentioned the Christians of the Middle East, who, assailed even in their exercise of their religious freedom, are leaving the land of their forebears. The Pope concluded his discourse saying that the causes of environmental problems are of the moral order. Thus, he said, an effective change of thinking and the creation of new lifestyles must be promoted within the framework of a great program of education. In fact, the problem of the environment is so complex, one might compare it to a multifaceted prism, he said. And he continued, it implies a series of challenges which can only be met by international solidarity, as well as by concord and stability between states.
Mais la sauvegarde de la création, en plus de la solidarité, a besoin aussi de la concorde et de la stabilité des États.
The Pope's multi-layered discourse did not fail to touch on other issues which are clearly dear to his heart, such as the dangers that are implicit in a culture of relativism and the denial of the social importance of religion. In this regard, he noted with satisfaction that here in Europe, the Lisbon Treaty has entered a new phase in its process of integration, providing for the EU to maintain an open, transparent and regular dialogue with the churches.
Je pense à l'Europe. Qu'avec l'entrée en vigueur du traité de Lisbonne a ouvert une nouvelle phase de son processus d'intégration.
Finally, the Pope called for universal recognition of the right of the State of Israel to exist and enjoy peace and security within internationally recognized borders. And likewise, he affirmed the right of the Palestinian people to a sovereign and independent homeland. He exhorted government leaders and citizens of Iraq to overcome their divisions and the temptation to violence and intolerance. And he appealed for an end to aggressive acts against Christian minorities in Pakistan and in Egypt. Concerning Iran, Benedict expressed hope that through dialogue and cooperation, joint solutions may be found on all levels. Other areas of political and social concern he specifically mentioned included Lebanon, Honduras, Guinea and Madagascar.
Et je souhaite qu'il en aille de même pour la Guinée et pour Madagascar.
This annual address to diplomats accredited to the Holy See is considered one of the most significant papal speeches, addressing many areas of the world in which the Church is actively engaged in promoting peace, development and respect for human rights and dignity. Immediately following the audience, Ireland's Ambassador Noel Fahy came to Vatican Radio to speak of his impressions about the importance and the impact of Pope Benedict's discourse. To start with, he told Charles Collins of his immediate response to the Pope's words.
My response was that it was, as always with the Holy Father, a complex and multi-layered address, covering a great deal of ground, but nevertheless essentially referring back to other statements that he's made and his particular preoccupation with the theme of the environment, and to use the phrase that he used in his World Peace Day address on the 1st of January, or message on the 1st of January, protecting creation. I think that's the basic theme. And he works into other areas of that basic theme and does it in a very interesting way. I think a very appropriate way, given that this is the year of, or we just finished the year of Copenhagen, and there's a huge environmental agenda for the international organizations in the year to come.
You mentioned this, and he mentioned Copenhagen, and he also mentioned conferences coming up this coming year. Many people think that Copenhagen did not achieve the goals that it set out to do. Do you have hopes for the next year?
I do. I think one has to have hopes about the environment because, for the reasons the Pope mentioned, that we have a duty and a necessity to protect the environment that we live in. And if we don't, we will continue to pay an ever-increasing price for our failures. I wouldn't say that Copenhagen was the success that people hoped for. It certainly wasn't. But nevertheless, it did not break down. It continues a process that's going on to a couple of major conferences the coming year. We have to be hopeful, and indeed the Holy Father's message is one of hope and encouraging us to face the problems of the environment and to deal with them I think it's very valuable from that point of view, coming as it does such a brief period after Copenhagen.
He speaks of the economic and political resistance to combating the degradation of the environment, especially now. It's 2010. The world has seen its worst economic recession since the Depression. A lot of these things are going to be expensive. Ireland itself has had tough economic times. And some people are saying it's a lot to ask to put the money on the line, to put the political capital on the line to make the changes necessary for the environment. Do you think the political will is there?
We have to hope that it is. Certainly as far as my government is concerned, the will is there. It's not an entirely altruistic feeling or it's not an entirely altruistic approach. It's a realization that we live in a situation where pressure on resources is growing, where the environment is being seriously damaged to a point that it is threatening mankind. And it's that serious. And in that kind of situation, I think resources can be found. I think they have to be found. At least that would be the view of my government. And certainly we're very much committed on that.
Turning to other aspects of his speech, the Pope mentioned the persecution of Christians in countries such as Egypt. We've seen recent stories even in other places, in Iraq, in Malaysia now. But he also made mention of an anti-religious and anti-Christian attitude that one finds also in the West. He says this is found especially amongst certain political and cultural circles, and he mentions even in the media. Do you also see this happening?
I think that there is a very strong emphasis on secularism and relativism in society in Europe, and I would also say in North America. And there is a debate going on, but I think it's a debate in which the church has to participate. The church has a point of view. It speaks on behalf of so many people in Europe, despite suggestions that Europe is less Christian than it was. The church still represents a huge number of people in Europe who share the values, who have the values, accept the values of the church. I think it's important that the Holy Father identified that debate and made it clear that the church is prepared to engage in that debate. I thought it was interesting, shortly before he made that point, he also welcomed the fact that the Lisbon Treaty has come into force and made it clear that the church intends to use the means provided for in the treaty to dialogue with the member states of the European Union and with the establishment of the European Union. And I think it's in that context that the church can get across very valuably the values it stands for. And I mean, that again links back to what was a basic theme of this speech, protecting creation and the importance of the environment. Yes, there is a debate. There is a debate which shows two sides of the coin. But the church, judging by what the Holy Father said this morning, is certainly prepared to make its position clear and make its presence clear in that debate. I think that's something to be welcomed.
You mentioned the Lisbon Treaty. And you mentioned the Holy Father, what he was talking about was there was a specific passage in the treaty that calls on the European Union to have an open, transparent, and regular dialogue with the churches. Yeah. What does that mean?
It means that the church has an opportunity and has a means now to ensure that its view is presented to the European Union. There will be a formal means there to do it. The church will be able to dialogue. There will be no, it will not be behindhand. It will not be a quiet or silent involvement. It will be a public involvement and a public participation by the church in the making of policy within the European Union. And that is very important. I mean, it was an issue that came up twice in Ireland when we had two referenda on the issue of the Lisbon Treaty. And certainly I know that people found this dialogue and the provision for this dialogue very reassuring. And it's one that I hope that the church will use and exploit in the years to come to get its point of view across.
on the environmental issue, has the Church in Ireland been taking a strong lead in it?
It has, yes. It has. It has made its view clear. It has spoken up on the subject. It has contributed to the national debate. And I'm sure the Holy Father's speech, just like the message for the World Day of Peace, and the Holy Father's consistent position on the environment, will and has and will inform the attitude and views of the Irish Church in the debate that's going on in Ireland and more broadly in Europe.
Well, really, are there any final thoughts on the Pope's speech?
Yes, I would just briefly pick out two or three other issues. I think the fact that he stressed the importance of nuclear non-proliferation. There's an important conference coming up, as he points out, this year, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference. That's an area where Ireland has taken a very forward stance going back to the 1960s. And we certainly welcome the commitment that the Holy Father has made to the Holy See's involvement in this process. The Holy See has a very important role to play in all disarmament issues. It has already most recently played a very important part in the conventions on cluster munitions. So it's in keeping with the Holy See's tradition in this area. The Holy Father also again spoke out against terrorism. He spoke out against action by armed groups of whatever kind and called on them to abandon the path of violence. That's certainly something drawing from our experience in Ireland that we would certainly share. And I've mentioned Lisbon. I picked those out as three immediate points. But as I say, it's a multi-layered and complicated address, and it's one that requires a fair amount of reflection before coming to a final and complete conclusion on it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you.
That was Noel Fahy, Irish Ambassador to the Holy See, speaking to Charles Collins. And now it's over to my friend, film critic Peter Malone, who heads the film office at CIGNIS, the World Catholic Association for Communication. Today he talks about a film that he deems particularly important in his own life. It's the story of a widowed father whom, without any preparation or innate ability to do so, learns to become a real parent to his 6-year-old son and then copes with the arrival of a 14-year-old son from a previous marriage.
It's The Boys Are Back, inspired by a true story.
The Boys Are Back.
I'm very glad I saw this film.
I wanted to put that in the written review because I would hope then that people would think, perhaps I should see that. I was very glad to see it. And at the end of the review, and I might say it now, I put a kind of personal note, which I normally wouldn't. But the film is, actually the story was originally from New Zealand, but they've transferred it to Australia. And Scott Hicks, who directed Shine, has made it most beautifully. And Clive Owen portrays a father, and it's the best I think I've seen Clive Owen. But his wife dies, his second wife dies of cancer, and played by Laura Fraser beautifully, and he's got to bring up this 6-year-old.
Daddy?
Yes, sweetheart?
Don't worry, I'll stay down here with you for now.
And then he has a son by a previous marriage who lives in England and who eventually comes to Australia. He's aged about 14.
I left my other boy when he was 6 to be with Katie. We need to spend some time together.
But you share the experience of the father trying to understand his son.
Will he like me?
Of course he will. So this is your little brother. This is Artie.
Hi, Artie.
To do ordinary things with the child, which he's certainly not used to doing, and housework and things like that.
It didn't look like this when Artie's mother was alive.
As well as discipline, affection, all those kinds of things.
Artie, shoes, hurry up. You've got them on the wrong feet.
These are the only feet I've got.
Hurry! Have you taken the rubbish out?
Not yet.
Do I have to do everything around here?
Why are you so angry?
What makes you think I'm angry?
And the personal note was that I was 7 when my mother died, and my brother was, he just turned 5. And my father had to cope with that. He was 36 at the time. And we had cousins actually came into the house, and that didn't work out, and we went to live with grandmother and aunt eventually. But I thought that as I watched the film, I think I began to understand much more what my father experienced with the death of his wife, as well as having to care for the two children.
What chance do they stand now?
They've got you.
We can do it. I promise.
So I can't speak too highly of it in that humane sense.
It's not easy at all. It's really difficult. But it seems to work for us.
And it's beautifully photographed in South Australia where Scott Hicks lives. And as I say, the performances of Clive Owen and the two boys are really excellent. And I would hope a lot of people see it and be moved by it.
It sounds like a film that would bring tears to my eyes, at least.
I think, yes, it would,
yes. Yes, actually the trailer did, so.
It avoids sentimentality, and a potential romance doesn't go through. So they've been very sensible in keeping it as, inverted commas, realistic as possible.
It also features some very funny scenes, doesn't it? The scenes between the father and the two sons. It's quite exhilarating at times.
Can I do it again, Daddy? Can I?
Yes.
Yeah!
It is, and especially the bonding between the older boy, who's a bit reserved coming from England, and the spontaneity. Actually, I don't know how that child, who was age 6 when he performed, older in aptitude, I would think, than his age, but very spontaneous and very warm between father and son, but also with the older brother.
South Australia, as you mentioned, looks absolutely beautiful.
Not my most favourite state, I should say, but it certainly it looks beautiful in the film, and it's the Fleury Peninsula where Scott Hicks actually lives and is obviously affectionately filmed.
So an important film in a way, a film, as you mentioned, is about parenting from a father's point of view, which hasn't often been featured in films since Kramer versus Kramer 30 years ago.
Yes. Actually, a friend of mine who his wife left him and he had two daughters, he said afterwards that he was empathising, of course, with the father from that point of view, whereas I was, you know, from the point of view of the children. So, yes, there's, I think, an appeal for a wide audience, especially fathers, but for all parenting.
Thank you very much, Peter. I will definitely go and see that.
Very good.
That was Peter Malone, head of the film office at Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication. That's all from the English feature programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.